Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back into the latest edition of the Arrowhead Pride Draft Room. Just wanted to record a quick disclaimer ahead of today's episode. The guys recorded this on Thursday evening. Unfortunately, on Thursday night, late into the night, the Chiefs announced that they were signing veteran wide receiver Marquise Hollywood-Brown on a one-year, $7 million contract. Can get up to $11 million with incentives. So that news had not become official when the guys recorded this edition of the show, but I want to direct you to the Arrowhead Pride Report emergency podcast that me and Pete Sweeney recorded. It's about 15 minutes of us just talking about how Marquise Brown fits into the Chiefs offense and what they're getting on this one-year contract with this speedy wide receiver. Other than that, plenty of other moves to discuss during the Chiefs free agent period. It's been a pretty busy offseason for the defending Super Bowl champion. So plenty to get you caught up on today's show. Make sure you stay locked in right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network.
All right, what's going on, everybody? We are back here with the AP Draft Room. This week, we're not going to really be talking too much draft, though, because it is the, you know, this week was NFL free agency week. You're not joined by your regular co-host, Ron Kopp Jr. He had something come up tonight, so I, Caleb James, am going to be hosting tonight, but I got some big brains with me tonight, you know, some smart football guys. I got Jared Sapp here, you know, cap expert Jared, so you definitely want to check him out on Twitter, because he is not going to be wrong on that kind of stuff. Jared, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing all right. I wish I had more Chiefs moves to, like, analyze the cap about, but it's been kind of quiet.
Hey, they made the move that mattered the most, though. We'll get into that here in a second. And if you guys have ever watched, you know, some of these other pods before, taking a look at the AP Film Room, you know my guy Nate Christensen back on here tonight with us to go over some of these free agency moves. You know, maybe a little draft talk towards the end. But Nate, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I can understand for cap person why this week's been a little bit boring, because the Chiefs haven't done a lot. But honestly, we'll get into it. I'm not super surprised about what they've done so far, but I've been happy with what they've done so far.
Yeah, and I think a couple of the reasons why, and let's just jump into it. I think a couple of the reasons why, you know, they haven't been the biggest of spenders is, number one, last week, me and Ron and Maurice, we hopped on here about 30 minutes after they signed Drew Tranquil. I know this show will be out sometime tomorrow morning. Maybe we'll have a little live news here or something. But, you know, they had Tranquil signed in. I think we're all familiar with that. But the big news that came out, you know, I can't even remember if it was, I think it was Saturday night. I was watching the UFC fight, check my phone, and all of a sudden it says Chiefs re-signed Chris Jones to, like, a giant extension, $95 million guaranteed. So in some regards, he was the best free agent in this draft class by far, and the Chiefs retained him. They locked him up to the big deal. Jared, I'm going to start it off with you. I know you probably got the details of the contract and everything, you know, so just taking a look at that and some of the structure stuff, what are you thinking when you see, like, that $95 million guaranteed, or, like, the whole big $150 million exceeding Aaron Donald number?
First of all, it was a great signing, and the slow week is a good trade-off, because there's not a combination of five moves the Chiefs could have made that helps them as much as re-signing Chris Jones. So if the trade-off is you have a boring first week of free agency, but you have the best free agent period back in-house and ready to roll, that's a trade-off everybody should take. It's really about a three-year, $95 million deal. That's the easiest way to look at it. There's basically 2 years tacked on. It looks like the Chiefs can kind of treat them as options. I think in year four, it's probably about a $28 million option. I think he's very likely to see that fourth year in Kansas City, unless his play just really slips off. The fifth year, if he stays that fifth year, he's going to earn $34 million cash. I think that's very unlikely to happen. It's a huge deal. He has a low cap hit this year. His cap hit this year is only going to be a little bit over $7 million. The next 2 years, we're talking really, really, really big cap hit numbers. I can almost guarantee you they'll restructure it at least once, probably twice, and bring those down. And years from now, when Jones is about to retire, we'll probably be looking at a big dead hit money that he's going to take with him his first year of retirement. But, you know, God willing, we'll have a couple more Lombardis between now and then. We probably won't care that much.
It's the Super Bowl tax, man. We're going to have to pay it at some point. So Chris Jones will probably be the first person we see that with. Nate, what are your takes on the deal here, man?
Yeah, no, I think this is a definitive win for the Chiefs. I don't think there's pretty much no price for me that would have been like, that's too much. Because Chris Jones is just one of those players you play or you pay. Like, he's dominant in the postseason. He's a dominant player in general, but especially dominant in the postseason. He shows up every time. He's now, because of Aaron Donald's still a very good player, but Chris Jones is now the best interior defensive lineman in the league. You just pay those guys. And my thing about like pass rushers is that pass rushers age well. Like, I think people talk about like, well, you know, Chris Jones is now 30. How will he age? Like, the history of pass rushers, they age pretty well. And even in their 30s, even like in diminished roles, like role player roles, they still continue to play well. I saw some people be like, well, if you look at like JJ Watt's career or Fletcher Cox's career, but it was like JJ Watt had like 8 surgeries in the middle of his career. And Fletcher Cox was like in a rotation with like many players of the Eagles. That was like on purpose that he was playing less. Like, we have no evidence that Chris Jones hasn't been like a dominant player for like 6 or 7 years now. And you just pay those guys. He's a cornerstone of this franchise. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame, and you just keep those guys in their prime as long as possible. And like Jared said, yeah, I would bet the Chiefs restructure this. Like, Chris, you know, they're going to mess with this a little bit during the time here, but like, it's worth it because you keep a Hall of Famer in his prime year. And when you have opportunities to have those players, unless you're getting, you know, 5 or 6 picks like Tyreek Hill, you just keep those guys. And the difference between Jones and Hill is that the Chiefs had Mahomes and Kelce on offense. They had ways to replace the impact of Tyreek Hill. They had no way to replace the impact of Chris Jones. So they had to keep him, and I'm just glad they did. And I'm glad this finally got resolved and that there's a real chance he's going to retire here, or at the very least spend his entire, like, prime with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think it's nice that you bring up the fact, though, that sometimes, like, these great pass-rushing defensive linemen, they do age pretty well. You know, the people that are saying, well, he's getting ready to be in his 30s a little bit, you think on it, it's like, well, he's not like 6'1", 340-pound defensive tackle with limited movement skills. Like, right. He's a big, tall, athletic guy. He, you know, he's going to obviously lose a little bit of it, but if they're able to correctly manage his snaps, that's going to be the thing in my eyes, is they got to manage those snaps these next 3 years to get him to play into the full contract of 5 years. But, you know, just from my end, I was happy with it. Like you guys said, he's, you know, there was no other moves. They're not going to bring in this role guy and that role guy and recreate that. You know, that's, you know, the opposing team has to create their entire game plan around him. And if you make
you really can't recreate a pass rush through like parts, like it doesn't, that's not how like defensive line play works. You can't like have role players replace impact.
Right. And if you make a mistake like the 49ers did in the Super Bowl, where they just didn't block him on that last goal line play, like, he's going to get through and make something happen. You have to know where he's at all the time. Mm. Now, there's something else that's happened, though, because they did sign Chris Jones, and there's been a ton of speculation. But as of today, and as of us recording this on Thursday, March 14th at 6:45 p.m., L'Jarius Sneed is still a Chief, and he's going to be on the franchise tag, is what they have him on right now. I think it's a $19 million number. I don't know, guys. I mean, time's starting to pass now. You guys think that they're just going to eat that and keep him and bring him back and create, you know, continue to have that elite defense? Or do you think they're just kind of waiting to kind of feel out the water and kind of see where the best trade is? Jared, I'll go back to you on that one.
So heading into the start of the league year on Wednesday, when the Chiefs would have to be cap compliant, the two main sources had very different numbers from how much cap space the Chiefs had, but it looked like the Chiefs' plan was to get a L'Jarius trade done so that would make them cap compliant. And then out of nowhere, we see, I think, Tuesday night that Patrick Mahomes has restructured his deal. They've restructured it. I think his contract, they don't even have to ask Mahomes if they're going to do it. They just do it. But that created $21 million in cap space, and now they can keep Sneed on the tag. I don't really think they plan to do that. I think they probably were getting some lowball offers because I think teams thought, hey, the Chiefs need the cap room. They're going to just take a mediocre trade package for Sneed. and I think the Chiefs made it pretty clear they were not going to. I think ultimately, I think he'll be traded. I think they'll find a trade package. It's not a great draft for cornerbacks, and the best cornerback currently has a broken foot. But I think the Chiefs are doing it the right way, where they're legitimately willing to just hold on to him and pay him that franchise tag if they're not happy with the package they get. But I think that they will get something probably in the next week or so.
No, yeah. I mean, I've kind of thought that, you know, I honestly thought at one point in this offseason, just because of the way stuff went with Chris Jones, that they were going to, like, get Snead on the tag, then re-sign him if something goes wrong with Jones. But obviously they made it work. Nate, what do you think about the whole situation with Snead right now? Because obviously, you know, you take him out of that secondary, you know, that might open up a need you have for another cornerback possibly in the draft.
Yeah, it is interesting. I actually thought that we'd have resolution by now, honestly. So it's hard for me to get a great read on this. But I kind of agree with Jared. I just think, like, I know if the offers are bad, like if teams are basically offering like a third round pick, in my perspective, the Chiefs should just keep him on the tag and just let a comp pick come in a year from now. A third round pick is just not enough for me to take a chance on three in a row with an elite player like Legarius Sneed. It probably just comes down to either there's not a lot of interest and the Chiefs are keeping him, or there is a lot of interest and they're just weighing offers right now. And, you know, when you are on the tag, we have to understand, like, the Chiefs can negotiate all they want with all these teams. If Legarius Sneed doesn't agree, it doesn't matter. A team could call and offer two first round picks for Legarius Sneed. If Legarius Sneed's not willing to sign with them long term and sign, I don't know if he signed the tag yet or not, but the point is, like, if Legarius Sneed isn't going to sign a contract with that team, it doesn't really matter unless they're giving up like no compensation. So there's a lot to be going with this. I still think they're going to probably trade him just because all indications have been that they're going to trade him. I don't really want to trade Legarius. I think that I would just take a shot at three. I don't think one day two draft pick is enough for me to trade him when the Chiefs are trying to win three in a row, but clearly the Chiefs view differently. I actually started watching corners this week just in kind of preparation for if they do trade Legarius. There are some guys at the top I'd like. I think they could take a guy in the first round that I'd be comfortable with, but I'm never a huge fan of like trade a guy just to take his position in that same next round. That's just a huge risk. I think we've seen in NFL history that just doesn't work out great unless you get like Justin Jefferson for Stephon Diggs, which is like an all-time outlier.
No, yeah, definitely. And I also think something that made this a little bit more interesting was the Lions trading Tampa for Carlton Davis. Like, I think it was the day after the Mahomes restructure, they go through and make that move. They do it for a third-round pick. Now, I've seen a lot of people back and forth on Twitter. They're like, is this helping us? Is this hurting us? In my eyes, I'm like, I think this helps the Chiefs a lot. I go, I think this just sweetens the pot. And, you know, like people are saying, go, well, now we're not even going to be able to get anything out of him. I'm like, that's just kind of part of the deal sometimes. Like, when you're winning championships like the Chiefs are, you're not going to be able to get multiple picks out of every star player you have. It's just kind of the way it goes. But I don't know. Do you guys think that, you know, trade with the Davis trade, you know, do you think that hurt or helped the Chiefs any with what their negotiations have been like with trying to get the right return on Snead?
Personally, I'd say it's helped because the free agent market at corner is bad and almost gone now. I saw Kendall Forrest on today with the Dolphins. Like, there's basically nobody left there. And this draft, you know, I like I said, I like the top of this draft at corner, but like, you know, when I get super deep draft, like Cooper DeJean has like very short arms. I love watching him play, but he might not be able to play outside corner in the NFL. Nate Wiggins, I really like, but he's like 175 pounds. You know, it's not like a like super loaded deep cornerback class. So like, there's kind of this like scarcity at some point. And when you like Legarius Sneed, a proven elite player at 27 years old, those guys at corner rarely become available. So I think the Chiefs, I think it'd be helpful because the fact that Carlton Davis, who I think has 1 year left on his contract, went for third round pick. That's a pretty decent amount of compensation. I do think it actually does help the Chiefs.
I think it might hurt from the perspective of, I think the Lions were a team that made sense for a trade. And that's just one less team on the board. I think the Dolphins kind of made sense for a trade. And in a vacuum, signing Kendall Fuller doesn't take you out of the market for Legarius Sneed because they're not really the same player. They don't do the same role. But I do agree that there's just so much scarcity with this position. in free agency. It's not very deep in the draft. The cornerbacks I saw in practice at the Shrine Bowl, most of them are not people who I think you want covering an NFL receiver. Like it's pretty light deal there, unless you're going to really hit the lottery ticket on day three. Like, I think the Chiefs should be able to find a partner for him, somebody who will pay him a contract. And I do think there's still some teams like the Colts who make a whole lot of sense with what they need.
That's where I think he's going.
Colts could definitely be a spot that he lands at. Man, hey, yeah. And I mean, I'd be happy if they got a second round pick, you know, for him. I think, do we think that's probably what we get now after that trade, a second? Or do you think it would go back down to a third? Because the Colts are going to have to commit to that long-term contract if they did, in theory, were the team that made the deal.
I can't speak for Jared. He probably have more, like, expert in this. But, like, I think it could be, like, the Chiefs give up a fourth and they get, like, a second back to basically just kind of, like, move up around or something like that. But that would be kind of what I'm thinking.
I think it'll probably be a second straight up. If it's not, I think it might be a third and some additional compensation. The one thing about, like, you take the Colts, for example. The Colts have a whole lot of players they've drafted in the last couple years that were linked to the Chiefs. If it was them, I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe a third and then a player with 2 years of control left who the Chiefs maybe really wanted in the draft and didn't beat the Colts to. But, you know, Chris Bauer, their general manager, he came from Kansas City. I feel like the Chiefs and the Colts a lot of times are looking at the same players in the draft. So I think it will be the value of a second, whether that's a second or a third and a fourth and a combination of players and other picks. I think that's what we'll need to see.
So I have one thing real quick. Do we think there's any chance they could use Snead to trade up into, like, the 20s, basically just, like, giving up 32? And because, like, giving up 32 to, like, 21, I have no idea. It's at 21. I'm just branding a number. That's, like, you'd have to trade what, like, a second and a fourth to get into the 20s. So that would be one thing that wouldn't shock me, particularly if there is, like, a playoff team that is looking at Snead. I've seen the rumors in Minnesota Vikings, but, like, they're trying to get a quarterback now. So, like, I don't care. Like, that's irrelevant to me. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to use that to try and get into the top 20, because then it's a lot easier to get, like, one of those, like, premium prospects versus when you have to wait till 32, as we saw last year.
Yeah. I think that maybe we've never really seen the Chiefs take that approach. I know some teams do. It'd be kind of a first for the Veach era. It's what makes it interesting to think about there. I just feel like he kind of likes to have, like, you know, I feel like he likes to have all the cubby holes accounted for, so he knows kind of what he needs. This would be like some real secretive stuff on his end if they did do it. But I mean, if you're giving up 32 and Snead for the right, you know, for the right move up, I feel like it would almost have to be in the top 20 though, because you are giving up like a player, and then you're going to have to come back and, you know, account for that spot on your roster, whether it be a guy you have or you're going to have to do that. So I feel like they'd have to get compensated a little bit higher than, you know, like 21 for that.
Yeah, that was just a number. I could definitely see that.
I don't think the Chiefs would do that without knowing, like, how the first round is unfolding and what they're trading up to get.
Yeah.
And you're not going to see a Snead contract get agreed to unless it's something like way behind the scenes, like we saw where the Titans just out of nowhere between draft picks traded AJ Brown to the Eagles a couple years ago. They had that trade already negotiated. They had that contract negotiated. We just didn't know about it till draft night. If it's something like that, I think it would have to be something behind the scenes that we don't even see coming.
Be quite the news release if that did come out like 20 minutes before pick number 14. All of a sudden, the Chiefs are in a position to take one of these elite receivers or one of these elite guys in the draft. But, you know, we've gotten through a little Snead talk, a little Jones talk, but the Chiefs did make some other moves. You know, they went through, they did, you know, they re-signed with James Winchester. I'm fine with that. He's been a reliable long snapper for a lot of years now. Just going down the list, they tendered a few guys, you know, for their exclusive free agents. We'll just go through that real quick. Mike Caliendo, Cole Christensen, Jack Conkren, Malik Herring, and Nazee Johnson. Really, just in that list of guys, you know, Caliendo was on the 53. So was Herring. So was Conkren. Nazee Johnson probably would have played a lot. But when I see, like, that group of guys they're putting on that exclusive list, it's like these are guys we want in our building. We want them to be a part of our team for at least the next year, whether it being, you know, a quality backup, a quality depth piece, or just, you know, being a guy they – think can just handle being on special teams well and also do like practice squad responsibilities. Out of that group of guys, you know, I do think that a guy like Malik Herring might have the biggest chance to possibly play some legitimate snaps this year. And Mike Caliendo, his role is also increasing drastically, because we'll get into Allegretti here in a second. But anyone else on that list you think maybe could take a little step forward, play a more critical role this year? Nate, we'll start with you.
Malik Herring is definitely the one that stands out. I wouldn't be surprised if Nazee Johnson contributes on special teams. I know they just brought back Deion Bush, but Jamari Connor, I don't think they're bringing back Mike Edwards. So Jamari Connor would presumably be the third safety. So they have an extra DB in the room with Mike Edwards being gone. And Nazee Johnson, before his injuries, like, you know, he's got a great testing profile. He always had to be a little bit careful about like camp darlings, but apparently he was awesome in camp before his injury. You know, it's tough with like ACL injuries. You know, people or athletes will typically talk about how it takes a year to fully get back, but he got hurt in like June or July. So he would have had like a very long, like full year to get back. So hopefully his recovery goes well. That's the other guy I could see making a difference on next year's Chiefs.
Worth noting, they're not exciting names, but all five of them have been active for a Super Bowl. Like that's not nothing. All five of them have been among the 48 players who suited up either in Super Bowl 57 or Super Bowl 58. So I think they're a little bit better than most teams' deep depth players.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Cochran had like a good reputation as a coverage linebacker coming out of South Dakota. Maybe with Willie Gay now gone, maybe there's some snaps on defense. He did get in a little bit on defense as a deep reserve, I think, in Green Bay after Drew Tranquil left with a concussion. I do think Malik Herring has looked good when he has had to play for Mike Dana. It hasn't been very many times, but he did have a couple of decent games when Dana missed, I think, some time in 22 with a calf injury. So I think he has a very good chance to continue to have a rotational role with the team. And he is a Georgia player. He tore his ACL at the Senior Bowl. I think without that injury, he probably would have gotten a better chance in the NFL than he's had so far. So I think I'm going to be watching him in camp.
Yeah, I've liked Malik Herring for a little bit now also, and just with what the Chiefs have done on the defensive line or the lack of what they've done so far, you know, maybe he's going to be a guy that we see stepping in. They got a couple of moves pending, but let's go ahead and jump to break real quick. But when we come back, we'll talk about some Chiefs that are no longer Chiefs now. And we'll talk about, you know, just a little bit of free agency around the league. So make sure you guys hop back in here in just a second.
All right. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the AP Draft Room. Except for this week, we are not talking much about the draft because it is NFL free agency. This is when teams like to overspend. This is when guys make generational money. This is the time of year when agents, you know, they go out and make their name. But unfortunately, something tends to happen when your team wins the Super Bowl. The price tends to go up on guys, no matter who they are, you know, no matter if they're your punter, your backup guard, you know, whoever that may be. So, guys, we got a couple of Chiefs, like I said, no longer Chiefs, but how about Tommy Townsend cashing in a new contract with the Houston Texans up to $6 million? Honestly, good for him. I don't think we ever thought the Chiefs were going to be able to bring him back, especially when they brought in Matt Araiza, but the it looks like Drew Rosenhaus and his people got Tommy taken care of. So I'm sure that he'll be possibly coming to Arrowhead to punt against the Chiefs in a playoff game here soon based on what the Texans have done. But what you guys got any thoughts on Tommy heading out of town?
So actually, we do have some news real quick that just small thing. Derek Nnadi apparently has re-signed on a one-year deal with the Chiefs.
There it is.
Yeah. I believe his agency just tweeted that out just a few minutes ago. Presumably probably for a minimum. But yes, from Sports Trust Advisors, Derek Nnadi staying in Kansas City. So Chiefs bring back all four defensive tackles that, well, I guess Derek Nnadi wasn't active in the Super Bowl, was he? He was out. Their most prominent defensive tackles are all going to be back next year, and Neil Farrell. So Probably not a position now that they're going to draft super highly. I don't know. Like the fact that they brought back Warden on not a minimum, and you know, Naughty is back again, and they brought back Pennell, and they have Chris Jones, and they have Farrell they just traded for. Probably not a super high priority in the draft anymore. It would be my guess. Maybe they just don't like this class at the top that much.
Yeah, I'm glad I've watched 20 defensive tackles so far.
I'm going to be watching Guaranteed Money for Pennell and Naughty. I mean, we know Jones is on the team. Wharton is pretty clearly on the team because he has a special, very cap-friendly one-year deal that if I get a chance, we can talk about. But it's guaranteed he's not going anywhere. But I don't think the presence of Naughty, Pennell, and Neil Farrell is going to keep them from drafting a defensive tackle that they like.
That's fair. Also, you do Mike Pennell has been cut by the Chiefs also in this same like time frame. I don't know if they'd ever cut Derek Naughty because he's Spags guy. I mean, that was one of the first defensive players Spags got to coach when he was here when he made the change. But I felt like this move is honestly inevitable. I mean, we felt like that Derek Naughty $1 million deal was probably coming down the works. So we did get a little bit of live news tonight. Real quick, though, jump over. We'll just talk about these other couple of moves here real quick. Nick Allegretti signed a pretty nice contract for him, especially considering seventh round draft. He signed a 3-year, $12 million deal. I forget what the guarantees were, but it's $3 million, $12 on paper to go play and with for the Washington Commanders with his old buddy, Andrew Wiley. So it's going to be Pokemon Card City in the Capitol. Those guys are going to be having the best of time over there, not protecting Sam Howell anymore. So they might be happy about that. But all I got to say is I've always enjoyed watching Allegretti's film. He filled in admirably in 2020. He was on that bad offensive line, and then he capped his career in Kansas City by playing three massive playoff games and being out there against some really good competition and holding his own at the Super Bowl. So I feel like everyone in this town, we owe him at least, especially Chiefs fans, owe him a little bit of gratitude for what he did. And it's cool seeing a guy go out there and get paid like that.
Yeah, no, he deserved this. I mean, I think Allegretti can be a starter in the league pretty easily. Every time he's played, it's been pretty good. Like the only times it's looked bad is, like you mentioned, in that Super Bowl when they had four other backups. So like that game's just kind of irrelevant. But he's never really – like he's just a good, solid player, starting functional guard. And happy, you know, $12 million in the context of the NFL doesn't sound like a lot, but it's life-changing money. It's, you know, generations worth of money, certainly. And he walks out of here with two Super Bowls or three.
He did get three of them things.
I couldn't remember if he was drafted after the first one or not.
I was gonna say he was the seventh round. He was their last pick in 2019.
Oh, the Mecole Hardman draft. Yep. That's right. Okay. I can't remember if he was that one or the next one, but yeah, just a super successful timeline here in Kansas City. Like, you can't complain. He gets paid. I mean, obviously he's dealt with a lot of physicality playing on the offensive line, but that's a pretty ideal career to be able to kind of be on these teams, be a contributing member of those teams on a win, and then to be able to cash it in a free agency. It's been a really good past few months for Nick Allegretti. I'm really happy for him.
There's a little bit of debate on how debilitating the injury he suffered in the Super Bowl really is for a guard, but just – to have that tear in your body and just keep on playing is just such incredible toughness. And if you look at the guard market, like we all thought Joe Tooney's deal was like a head scratcher 3 years ago, and three guards this week who are nowhere near as good as Joe Tooney signed deals that are making more money. I think there's a good chance Nick Allegretti for, I think, $4 million a year is going to look like a much better signing than a certain guard who's making $20 million a year now, another certain guard who,
which one?
I think signed for $17 million a year. It's just, I think Nick Allegretti is going to look like a smart signing compared to some of the money that's been thrown at the position this offseason.
Definitely. I mean, and let's talk about what you're referencing. The Carolina Panthers needed to improve their offensive line. So they did so by releasing their center and signing two guards, Robert Hunt. They got him on like the 5-year, $100 million. I don't know what the guarantees are, but it's an astronomical amount of money for a guard that plays in one of the most favorable run blocking schemes in the National Football League and is not really good in pass protection. And then you've got Damian Lewis, who they signed from Seattle, who is not very good in pass protection at all. He's kind of just a road grader. These two big giant guys, you throw in the fact that they have to protect a small quarterback in Bryce Young. It just kind of makes you chuckle a little bit. But the Chiefs look like geniuses for Joe Tooney right now.
Yeah,
it really is pretty. When
go ahead.
A year from now, when Trey Smith has a monster contract, I really hope he sends the Panthers a thank you note.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. As sad as it makes me, I don't know if Trey's going to be coming back after this season. That market's going to be hot, and it's going to be a contract season for him at Creed. But just moving back down the list, though, with the Chiefs, I think a free agent signing that kind of surprised me a little bit was Willie Gay basically took like a prove-it year from New Orleans. It signs a one-year, $5 million deal. I honestly thought he was going to get more. I thought teams would just still bank on the athleticism and like the, you know, just kind of the excitement he can bring to the football field at times. But really, it doesn't seem like anyone was biting too hard. But now he ends up back down in New Orleans with Colin Saunders and Tyrann Mathieu. So, I mean, what do you guys think about that one? I kind of figured he'd get a little more.
I was shocked he went for this little because a couple things. One, this draft class is bad at linebacker. Like, it's really bad at linebacker. And Willie Gay is like 24, 25 years old. And the thing about linebackers, and this is a college thing too, is like linebackers in college just don't play like linebackers in the NFL. They in a lot of college schemes, they're not tasked with a lot of reads. It's a lot of like movements or line stunts or run stunts. It's just a very different position. And so it just takes a lot longer to develop those guys in the NFL now. And the success rate isn't super high on these guys in the NFL in general because it's just a complete, it's like two different sports for a linebacker in college football and the NFL. And like Willie Gay isn't, you know, a great player, but he got better every single year. He has upward mobility. He's got a ton of athleticism and he's entering just his prime years. I just thought somebody would pay for that. And the fact that he's only on a 1 year, $5 million deal, just kind of lets you know the NFL wasn't super high on him, but I'm surprised because I don't know. I just think that, you know, I like to look at free agents, like the guys who have upward mobility are the guys you should sign. And like Willie Gay is clearly on a upward track in some extent. And the fact that like no NFL team was looking at that with how bad the draft is at linebacker, how bad the league, NFL is so bad at linebacker right now. I just thought somebody would look at like his combine scores at the very least, like we have to bring that in. And he started on multiple Super Bowl teams. I'm really shocked his market was way, way lower than it ended up being.
I live in Fort Worth, and for on any Cowboys, whatever the Cowboys going to do this offseason coverage, he had been mentioned as a player. The Cowboys are probably going to be in on him, but they might not be able to afford him with the money he's probably going to get. Like, it's, I think league-wide, the lack of interest in him is just surprising. I don't know if that – he's never been trusted to carry the green dot in Kansas City every time. Every time there's been that opportunity, the Chiefs have had a different backup player, sometimes a player nowhere near as athletic as Willie carrying that green dot. And I wonder if there's some – behind the scenes concerns about just how high his ceiling really is for his athleticism, but I really expected him to do better.
Yeah. I still think with Willie, a lot of that stuff does come down to some of the off field stuff, you know, maybe teams not wanting to make the long-term investment, but continuing down the week. All right. So the Mahomes restructure happens Tuesday. And I think we have the perfect person on here to break down some of that restructure for us. Jared, what are like your key details from the restructure and kind of what does it say about the Chiefs' approach, you know, to the rest of this offseason period?
First of all, Mahomes is going to get a new contract a couple years from now because when they redid his deal in September, they brought some money, I think, from 2028 and 2029 forward to compensate him now. So he's paid more like the top quarterbacks in the league after some younger quarterbacks had done deals. And a certain aggregate NFL news site would not stop talking about how he was underpaid. So I think there's an understanding he's just going to get a new deal. So it's not really worth worrying about some of these crazy cap hits that are coming now. But basically, a bunch of Mahomes's pay any season is on an option bonus. The Chiefs can pay it to him as a roster bonus as scheduled, or they can convert it to a signing bonus and just spread it out over 5 years. It looks like the Chiefs took $27 million of the money they were going to pay him and said, this is now a signing bonus. So of that, about $6 million of it has to carry on this year's cap, and then the rest of it gets spread over the next few seasons. He has like a $63 million cap charge now coming up in 2026. But again, everybody expects the Chiefs and Mahomes to actually sign probably a new, what'll probably be a new 10-year deal at that time anyway. Basically, the Chiefs are in a pattern where they're going to keep pushing money for Mahomes down the road. And again, someday, probably a decade from now, when he retires, it will be a very big dead money hit in his first year of retirement, you know, 10, 12, maybe longer years down the road, and hopefully 3, 4, 5, 6 more Lombardis down the road.
Yeah, we're not too worried about that. We're going to worry about right now. Nate, what do you think about the deal?
Yeah, like Jared said, honestly, with a lot of these quarterback contracts now, like for Mahomes and Josh Allen, like I don't even care what they get paid anymore, because like they're just, every team now is just, they're smart and they just push money, just keep down the line. And, you know, at some point, yeah, that's obviously going to break, but like, who cares? Like, who knows what like the environment with the league is 10 years from now, right? We care about right now. We care about this season. Like, I don't care like what Patrick Mahomes gets paid in any individual season. It's worth it. Honestly, I never even look at his contract. I have no idea what his cap it is this year or next year. Because like, it's just, it doesn't matter to me. Like, the Chiefs can just borrow from it if they need to every year with the way they've structured it. And I think it's smart. Like, you should use Patrick Mahomes' money to make your current roster better. The only times these quarterback contracts to me ever get bad is when you're paying a bad quarterback like Russell Wilson, like top tier money. That's like when you actually get into like cap hell in the NFL, is when you're just like allocating that much cap. Like, that's not a problem for the Chiefs ever. So yeah, every year they should just keep doing this. It's in my opinion.
Yeah, and maybe a team like Buffalo will regret it here in 10 or 12 years if they don't win anything. But the Chiefs, I feel like, will be pretty content. Yeah. No, I mean, I think of it now, whenever you see like they bring up that Mahomes deal, I'm like, well, they're restructuring. It's like, oh, they're going to the bank. They're going to go get the funds out, and it's time to go get everything together. So, all right. I think we already mentioned it. They've made one signing in free agency for a guy who didn't formally play for the Chiefs. That would be all world possible tight end, Irv Smith. Check it out. Ron had the review on him. You know, I think probably Irv Smith and his agents, they had a real big talk about how they're going to hype this up and publicize that he's going to play for the champions. But really, when you kind of look at like his deal, he looks like a guy kind of like who will still be fighting very hard for a 53-man roster spot here. I mean, he was the third tight end in Cincinnati. He kind of got outplayed for one of those spots. So any thoughts on Irv Smith? Nate, we'll start with you.
It's a camp flyer. That's it. We don't have to make this any more than what it is. Irv Smith is the player. You know, obviously, he was a second-round pick. I believe he was in the same draft as Hockenson and Noah Fant. But I remember he was kind of like a considerably a tier like lower than those guys. Like, everybody knew that at the time. I believe that class had like three good tight ends, and it was like Hockenson, Fant at the top, like Irv Smith in the middle, and just like a drop off. But he's like 6'2", 240. He's like a move tight end. At his best, he was a guy that could like stretch the field a little bit. Not an inline blocker. So, you know, if anyone's like, oh, you can put Irv Smith and Travis Kelce on the field together, that it's just not going to happen very much. Maybe sometimes in 13 personnel if he makes the roster. I think this is a shot of like, hey, this class is not particularly good at tight end in general. I know there's the Texas tight end, Jatavion Sanders, Cade Stover, Theo Johnson's super athletic but hasn't done a lot. The Chiefs aren't getting Brock Bowers. So the Chiefs might just be like, hey, this is a guy that was a top 50 pick at one point. He's got a lot of pedigree. Let's see if he can come in, look good in shape, and if he looks good, he can kind of be our guy to alleviate some snaps from Travis Kelce. And they lost Jody Fortson today, actually, to the Dolphins, so this might just kind of be their Jody Fortson replacement. But if Irv Smith's not healthy, if he just doesn't look that good, the Chiefs will just cut him for no ramifications. I think they're just taking a flyer on a guy to see if there's any chance that he could kind of alleviate Kelce's role. But do I think Irv Smith's going to make this team? Like, maybe. He might just be like their Ricky Seals-Jones.
Here's what you need to know about how Irv Smith stands with making the team. Irv Smith signed a veteran salary benefit deal. So he's making vet minimum. usually when you make vet minimum on veteran salary benefit, the team gets to charge your salary like you're only a 2 years experience player. So it saves a little bit of cap room, but you still make your 4 year minimum. Usually you get a $167,500 signing bonus to go with it. Irv Smith got a $167,500 roster bonus. To make that extra money, he has to actually make the team. So I think that kind of says how serious of a signing it is. He does appear to have $384,000 of salary guaranteed, but there's probably a good chance I told him behind the scenes, if we cut you, we agreed today that we'll sign you to the practice squad for this amount of money anyway, and it'll offset. So he's not guaranteed to make the team. He would have a, I think he'd have a mountain of a hurdle to clear to even approach where Noah Gray is on the depth chart with many snaps Noah Gray's played the last couple of years.
Just for reference, like people don't like Cincinnati doesn't use their tight ends and they never used Irv Smith. And like they had other tight ends on the roster who just like can't catch and they used them more than Irv Smith. It's like this wasn't like this isn't a guy that has like a lot of experience. He's just not like he's barely been an NFL player recently.
And I think something else to bring up, people are talking about like obviously with the Dolphins getting Fortson, they're like, is he gonna replace Fortson or Bell? And I'm like, well, he's 6'2", 240, so he's not really built to do what any of those guys did in the Chiefs offense. He's not like some fantastic blocker to where he's going to come in and be like the third tackle at times like Bell was, and he's not like going to be your big red zone target like we saw Jody Fortson be. So, I mean, he's just going to be a guy fighting to make the roster, in my opinion, probably just like a guy they're thinking good veteran practice squad presence to have. But we keep on rolling down the line. They got Mike Pinnell back. I was kind of expecting that. I figured, you know, they'd throw Mike Pinnell another little one-year deal. They're just kind of regaining what they had. Jared, I think you mentioned in a minute, though, you know, he's been cut a couple of times before from the team, and his contract's not really anything guaranteed. It's kind of like, hey, you're Chris Jones' good friend, and you played out of your mind in the Super Bowl. So, yes, come back and compete for another job in camp. But if we find someone a little bit better and a little bit younger, we'll probably cut you again. Do you think that's kind of accurate?
I mean, I think he lives in Wichita, actually. Like, I think he's to that point where I don't think he's going to play for a team that's not the Chiefs. And I think he's kind of reached – he's a better player than Austin Ryder has been in a very long time. But I think he's kind of reached that point where they'll cut him and he'll be on the practice squad. And then – he'll get elevated for a couple of games when he's needed. And then when the playoffs come, if they think he's in good shape, they'll elevate him for the playoffs. I would guess, I still think they'll draft a defensive tackle. I would guess he's probably somebody who's going to be in between the roster and the practice squad a couple of times, because I think if they cut him, I don't think he's going to go sign with another team. I think he'll hang out and maybe be on the practice squad and just wait for his chance and stick around in a building he knows really well.
Yeah, no, the Chiefs know Mike Pinnell. Like, I'm sure they have very, like, they signed him in the middle of the season. Like, whether he's on the week one roster or not, it's kind of irrelevant. If, as long as they have the option to sign him by the postseason, is all that really matters, especially with the guy's age. I'm actually surprised they did sign him now, because I thought that he would just kind of be like a lingering free agent until, you know, October 28th when the Chiefs, you know, Derek Nottie was a little banged up and they needed someone. But this also could be posturing to be like, hey, we don't need defensive tackles. Look, we signed Mike Pinnell and Turk Warren and Derek Nottie. Like, we're not looking for that in the draft at all. And then, like, you know, like Jared said, when the draft comes, I don't think the Chiefs are going to take a defensive tackle in the first round, because I don't think they're going to get Murphy or Newton. And I don't think that they're going to draft any other guys available there. I just don't think that's where the talent in this class is. But they're still going to draft a defensive tackle in this class at some point. They have to have someone with cheap, cost controlled, like on their books at some point with this position.
And yeah, I mean,
I haven't seen any guaranteed money on Pinnell, but there must be some guaranteed money for a 350-pound man to agree to stay in the dorms in St. Joe for a month. So
yeah,
there's some kind of guarantee that we're just waiting on.
A little warm up there for Big Mike. Yeah, man, but as we're trying to, you know, wrap it out, we already talked about the Jody Fortson going to the Dolphins. I think we all kind of saw the writing on the wall with that once he had his injury. And then We talked about Turk Wharton coming back today. Just another good depth piece. What other, you know, before we kind of move on here from free agency and get ready to wrap the show up, what was like one story or one player this week you kind of kept an eye on, or kind of like something big, just overall, you know, big picture NFL free agency that kind of caught your eye this week? Nate, we'll start out with you.
You know, I know we had some news today. It's been a little bit slower than I expected. Like, we haven't seen a lot of the left tackles go yet. The wide receiver market did kind of pick up once Calvin Ridley went. But, like, there's still, like, defensive ends and defensive line hasn't been, like, super picked through yet. It's, like, the positions that people typically don't ascribe as, like, mattering as much, like interior offensive lineman and linebacker and running back that has been going. And to me, that speaks to this draft class. I think teams know, like, hey, this is a really good offensive tackle class that's pretty deep. Why do we need to pay Tyron Smith, you know, $25 million a year? Just making up a number. Wide receiver, not a great class. It's a very good wide receiver draft class. Let's just go get our wide receiver in the draft. And same with corner. Like, this cornerback class in free agency wasn't very good. Let's go get that in the draft where it's a little bit better. So I think we've actually seen this year, like, the draft is informing a lot of this. Which is a little surprising because I know this is actually a pretty good interior offensive line class, but it just seems like the NFL now is just like, this is just a theory I have with the NFL. I think now offensive line play is just really hard to develop because of, like, you know, practice scheduling and stuff like that for young players. Teams are just paying those guys now. Like, if they're just like veterans and know what, like, how to like run a scheme and have a position, teams are just going to pay them now more, which is good for those guys because there's just a scarcity on it now. We've seen so many teams have their seasons destroyed by just bad offensive line play. I think NFL teams now are just like, screw it. We're just going to be paying five guys. It's going to be, you know, 30% of our cap, 40% of our cap, but it's just something we can bank on every single year. Because if you have a bad offensive line and then your quarterback gets hurt or he just can't like manage pressure behind it, there's really nothing you can do. Like, there's no scheme that makes up for a bad offensive line. So I think that's the two things I've noticed, is that the premium positions haven't gone as much because of the draft. And two, I think teams are just now paying offensive linemen, whatever, because of the scarcity around the league now for good offensive line play.
Jared, you got anything else?
I think with offensive tackle and with wide receiver, I think in addition to seeing what the market is now, I think teams are interested in what the market's going to be like after the draft, because any mock draft you see, there's going to be 12 wide receivers who probably go in the top 70 picks. There's going to be 8 offensive tackles that go maybe before pick 50. When that many rookies are going to enter the league at one position group, you're going to see a lot of cuts, and probably some guys you don't expect are going to get cut either after the draft or after June 1st. So I think with those two positions, teams have kind of had a little bit of a motivation to maybe slow play the market, because I think they anticipate some players who we're not thinking about might be on the market a couple months from now.
Yeah. You know, it's a big picture thing. Overall, like you both were saying, you got to kind of look at, you know, all the stuff. How's the draft panning out? But also at the same time, you know, why are these college offensive linemen getting harder to develop? It's because, oh, all they do is run RPOs and the ball's out in 3 seconds now. So it gets harder to evaluate as time goes along. My big story, I guess, to me at least, is, you know, we're all kind of like laughing at the Bills a little bit because they kind of collapsed and they're resetting their roster. A lot of teams are kind of trying to reset things right now. But just as soon as we maybe feel like, and I'm sure the Bills will still be a playoff team, but just as soon as we feel like one of these teams kind of falls off like the elite pedestal that they've been competing with the Chiefs on for the last 5 years, you got something else forming in Houston, because the Texans killed this offseason so far, and they've got draft picks galore. I mean, they've gone out and they got, just last night they signed Joe Mixon. They got Danielle Hunter. I mean, they are really going all in on this rookie contract for CJ Stroud. So I think that just overall, you know, you're starting to see some of these teams, you know, like obviously the Texans recognize the importance of the Stroud rookie deal because they're going to be in the same situation the Chiefs are here very shortly. You know, I'm sure Stroud, when he gets his first big extension, it's probably going to be right there around the same time Mahomes signs his new deal, like Jared's talking about tonight. So that's going to kind of be the thing there. But that's just a team who I've got my radar on, probably going to be playing some big games versus the Chiefs here in the next couple of years or so. But let's go ahead and move on. We will talk one thing for draft tonight, and then we'll get out of here. We'll just do something quick. We are going to roll with the prospect of the week.
Hey, prospect.
We have other prospects.
Prospect of the week.
Jared, I'll start out with you. Who is your NFL draft prospect of the week?
Player who I don't understand why he's not getting more buzz coming out of the combine is Michigan wide receiver Cornelius Johnson. It seems like Roman Wilson is getting a pass all day long because you know Harbaugh had this offense that didn't maximize wide receivers. I don't get why Johnson, after being 6'3", running a 4.44 at the combine in the 40, had, I think, a 9.89 RAS. I don't think he's done the agility drills yet, but
no one does.
I watched him. I was at the practices for the East-West Shrine Bowl. I thought he looked really impressive. Granted, it probably was not the deepest group of talent, but also a lot of the knocks that I see on Johnson are the same thing that we heard about Nico Collins a couple of years ago. So it's like we have an example of a wide receiver similarly built who wasn't used very well in this system exploding in the NFL. I'm not understanding why there's not more intrigue about Johnson right now.
We're done with Peoples-Jones, right? Like, that was another guy that was in that Michigan offense, and his career hasn't been as successful, but kind of that same type of profile.
Definitely, yeah.
And I saw him manhandle some cornerbacks at the Shrine.
That's got to be – I would like to do something like that someday, go down and watch one of those all-star practices and kind of get the behind-the-scenes of what's going on with that. That was – very cool that you got to do that, Jared. But Nate, who you got for us tonight, man?
Yeah, so this is a bit like I think what the Chiefs might be looking into. I think we've seen with – this is just rumors. Nothing's been done. Like, who have the Chiefs been linked to in free agency at wide receiver? Curtis Samuel, Hollywood Brown, Darnell Mooney, and Tyler Boyd. These are all kind of like slot options. Tyler Boyd's a little bit of the outlier. He's more of a possession type, but they're all kind of like – speed, vertical threats, stretch the seams, run in motion, like, you know, your Kadarius Toney's, your Mecole Hardman type roles. And they haven't been linked partially because this class, this wide receiver class doesn't have any in free agency, but haven't been linked to any like X wide receivers. And the thing about this draft is there are a lot of like vertical X wide receivers. And I think that's where the Chiefs are going to look at wide receiver. And the guy I picked was Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. Xavier, he's got, I watched him last weekend. He's got fun film. He's just jacked. He's a huge wide receiver. Like, we're talking like AJ Brown level of just like physical strength to where like guys just can't like get into his frame at all and disrupt him through contact. So his ability to get off like press is pretty good. His vertical route running skills are just great. He can run like straight line posts, like go routes. He's got all the contested catch skills in the world. He has great like coordination. He can make plays in the air. I think this is the type of profile, like, we saw the Chiefs, you know, they drafted a little bit of kind of like an older player last year, Rashi Rice, but Chiefs typically don't go for, like, you know, the wide receiver with a ton of production and proven, you know, proven stats and things like that. They're willing to kind of take, like, these, like, athletic, kind of project-y type guys and mold them. I think Leggett would give them something they don't have. Like, it would basically, like, Leggett would be, like, if MVS had, like, catch skills. Like, if he had ability to, like, make contested catches and play through contact in a way. Certainly when they cut MVS, they're now kind of missing that, at least like style of wide receiver, even though MVS really wasn't that style of receiver. The theory of MVS, I guess, they don't have. And Leggett would kind of fill that. I think he'd be a guy that'd go in the second round. He is 23 years old, so he's a little bit of an older prospect. But I don't think that's something that should bother the Chiefs too much. It's a position of need. I think they can get it at a lower value in the mid-second or late second compared to other people in this class. I think he'd be a really good fit on the Chiefs. I'd be really excited to have him. He's a really fun player to watch.
He is, man. He's explosive. He's got the yard after catch ability, strong player. I mean, he's got some strong comps, I'd say, to like AJ Brown and even Debo to some extent, not just the South Carolina connection. But for my prospect of the week, I'm going with another guy with some freaky athletic ability, but I'm going to go with Chop Robinson from Penn State. I wrote about him this week. So that review will be up shortly. But, man, you just talk about the best first step. I mean, he had the fastest 10-yard split of any edge rusher this year by far. And, you know, then you go out and you watch him on film. I mean, some of these Big Ten tackles, they are just, we're not ready for that kind of speed around the corner. He's got the speed. He's got the bend. You know, he's only 6'2", 250. He can put on some size and weight, but he's still got like 33-inch long arms. So he takes advantage of all that. But, you know, he's not just going to be a guy you just put in a two-point stance, because he plays out of a four-point stance a lot at Penn State also. And the other thing is, he is a strong player too. I think his power gets underlooked a lot of the time just because people get so caught up with his ability to bend the arc. But, man, you know, the Chiefs would probably have to move up to get him. We'll see. But he's probably the kind of guy that would be worth moving up a little bit to go get. So he's a guy I've been watching. I just have enjoyed watching this film. Like I said, he's probably going to be too far out of the Chiefs' range after pro days and after this stuff. You know, he gets the football out well. I mean, if they go back and if they did trade up for a guy like him, I think that would say a lot about how they feel their current edge room is. We didn't even talk tonight. Like, Mike Dana's still unsigned. They could probably still need some versatility in the edge room right now. But just going after a guy like someone they really don't have, like, he'd probably start out as like a, you know, pass rush specialist, continues to try to get bigger and improve. But I just feel like he's a guy with a ton of upside despite a little bit of injury history. And I think he'd definitely be worth, you know, moving up maybe 5 or 6 picks to get if he's still there.
Yeah. Chop is crazy. Like, if you, because of Latu's injury history, if you maybe say like the only other edge I'd take in the first round besides Dallas Turner, probably like certain because I don't know Latu's health, is Chop Robinson. Like, he is just so athletic. His like first step and his bend are true. Like, they're truly like all time. Like, his get off is ridiculous, and he's still super young. And I could see that being like a Chiefs pick. Like, let's just say, you know, similar to last year, the offensive tackle board did not fall the Chiefs way last year. If people remember, all the guys, and then the wide receivers all went in the 20s, and you're kind of sitting there at 32 and you're like, our board is decimated with positions of need. We just need to take a guy, and we can't trade out. So we just need to take a guy with like a super high end ceiling. Chop Robinson would certainly fit that profile. And George Karlaftis can play inside. So you could play all three of Felix Anadike Ozama, Chop Robinson, and George Karlaftis together. And guess what? Never a bad thing having a bunch of pass rushers, right? No one's ever complained about having depth in your defensive line. And especially when you get a chance at a young, like, freak profile like Chop Robinson.
Definitely. Well, fellas, I think it's about time to say goodbye. But before we get out of here, Jared, why don't you let everyone know about your socials and what are you working on for the site right now?
So I can be found at Truman Chief. I just finished a piece for tomorrow's AP premiere about how good the four remaining members of the Chiefs 2021 draft class, that's Bolton, Humphrey, even Noah Gray, and then of course Trey Smith, how great they should be feeling about what they've seen in free agency this week. And I'm about to start working on a wide receiver who the Chiefs were linked to a very long time ago, and we haven't heard much about since, Joshua Cephas of Texas San Antonio. I'm really looking forward to that. Met him at the Shrine. Really cool guy, cool player.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to Jared, other Truman State alumni at AP right now, and the number one cap expert in Chiefs Kingdom. All right, Nate, what do you got rolling out this week for us?
It's just draft profiles now, because especially as the Chiefs aren't signing anyone. So if Chiefs continue to not sign anyone, then it's just going to be draft profiles. No, I've got a list of them going. I've already written up the ones for Ricky Pearsall, who I think could be a Chiefs target. It's the only thing is his age is a little concerning, but Ricky's a baller. I love watching him. And Audric Estimine, the running back from Notre Dame, who I think would be an awesome compliment to Isaiah Pacheco. That'd be like one of those picks that I would just be super happy about. I think his fit in Kansas City would be excellent.
Absolutely, man. Those are some really good prospects right there to be looking at. And you can follow me on Twitter at CJ Scoobs. I'm just going to have more film reviews out. I'm sure 5 minutes after we get out of this, they'll sign Tyron Smith or someone, and that'll occupy me. But I got my Chop Robinson. It's ready to go. It'll probably be out this weekend, early next week. My next guy, he was a sleeper I picked on here last week, probably the first hidden gem of the year, but it's going to be Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan. He's got a crazy athletic profile, and he's also a pretty good football player. He got triple teamed a lot in a bad conference. But this has been it. This has been the AP Draft Room. There's not a ton of draft this week, free agency, but we do appreciate everybody listening, and make sure you all keep tuning in, because we still got, you know, over a month to go until that big day where we sit down and listen to everyone get picked. So everyone, just keep on having a great one.